Now, my name is Pablo. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 11/20/2021. And I have a sponsor. This is his home group. And he has a sponsor. This is his home group. And I truly believe in sponsorship. I was lucky enough to get a sponsor within my first week of AA. And it's helped me out a lot. And yeah. So my story is pretty much, it starts off with my childhood. I had a really rough, violent, chaotic childhood. That led to like a lot of fighting in elementary school, a lot of fighting in middle school. I remember I got to so many fights in elementary that like one of the teachers came and like had to have an interview with my mom. I think they were trying to figure out whether or not they had to call DCF or something, I don't know. But my parents are beautiful people, had a nice house, and nothing ever happened with that. Same thing middle school, a lot of fighting. Got suspended for 2 weeks, got sent to alternative school. Once I got back, same situation, a lot of fights. Got caught smoking weed, got caught selling weed, and did a lot more. Eventually, they just, you know, threw me out of middle school, and I got expelled, and I don't think I was allowed to go to public school anymore. This was at sixth grade, and my parents had no choice but to put me into a private school. At this age, I was like 11, smoking a lot of weed, drinking a lot, already getting blackout drunk. You know, a lot of my friends were older than me, so I hung with the older crowd, and we're just a crazy wild group of kids, you know. But yeah, the only thing I cared about at this point in my life was, how was I going to get money to get drugs? You know, like beer, we didn't really need money for beer. We would just do beer runs. We would, like, two or three of us would just go to Food Lion, grab cases, run out the back, the fire exit, and we'd stash beer. We'd drink it warm. We'd, like, you know, put it in dirt, and we just stashed up, and we'd go to Circle K, just do beer runs. Like, didn't really need money for that, but I always wanted money for drugs. And when I was 13, started my first job. This was like before 9/11, so we'd go to the airport. One of my buddies did the paper route, and he'd pick me up at like 5 or 6 in the morning, and we'd go to the airport and help people with their luggage, and we'd get tips, you know, 30, 50 bucks in a couple hours. You know, that was good money for a 13-year-old. So I always had money for drugs. And at like 15, I started working at Burger King, and I'm pretty sure they were like breaking child labor laws, because they would like cut me a check on the side, like a manager would just cut me like a regular check, and then I would get my like payroll check, you know. And that's all I really cared about, is getting money, you know. I got my first car at 16, and it was a Toyota Corolla. I love those things, yeah, and they don't drive fast, but that's good. It's good for me that they didn't go fast. But yeah, wrecked it right away. Like, I was drinking beer before Guavaween. And Guavaween's like some festival. I don't think they do it anymore, but it's like a Mardi Gras type thing held out in Ybor City. And I was 16, we're all drinking beer. And I got behind the wheel, and we're in like some neighborhood at some park drinking beer. And my buddy was like, just don't let go of the gas pedal. Don't let go of the gas pedal. I'm like, all right, I'm fearless. I'm young, I'm 16. I'm like, all right, all right. Like running through stop signs, like, you know, like dodging houses. And like, I was doing 60. Luckily, I had a Corolla. I was doing 60 or 65 in a 25-mile zone, and I crashed into a light pole, and it went down. Tico came, fire trucks came, cops came. Like, I think we just left. Like, I think the car was registered in my dad's name or something. My parents, they might have talked to my parents. I don't know. I still went to Guavaween that night. That's how crazy we were. And like, I still have the scar on my arm from the steering wheel. And yeah, I still went to Guavaween, partied it up. When I was 18, went to Cancun for a high school trip, and that was crazy. That was like a 5-6 day bender. Like, everybody was just done drinking. We're supposed to be there for like 7 days. We were all done like within 5 or 6 days. I mean, there, you could get your hands on in anything in Cancun, like weed, Viagra, like you could drink when you're 18. You know, it's just crazy. It was wild. Like, my friends told me they slipped Viagra in my drink, and I just, it's just crazy. And when I was 18, and like, right before I went to college, I was like, I'm done. Like, and like, this is the PG-13 version that I'm giving you guys. I'm going to keep it clean here and just stick to alcohol. But I was like, I'm done. Like, I had, you know, I've always gotten good grades. Like, I graduated with a 4.0 and went straight through bachelor's, master's. I never really, my parents, that's all they really cared about. Maybe that's what was like the problem. All my parents really cared about was get good grades. And I did. I've always gotten good grades, and kept me out of jail, kept me out of prison. But yeah, when I was 18, I'm like, I'm done with everything. I've been doing drugs since I was 11. Like, I'm done. I'm just going to smoke weed and drink beer. That didn't really work. That didn't really work out. Like, immediately got busted for smoking weed in the dorm rooms when I was 18. Cops came banging on the door. Boom, boom. My friend was like gonna jump out the window or something. It was gonna like throw the bag of weed up. But anyways, we got caught. There's no denying we were smoking weed. And I got PTI, pretrial intervention. And Yeah, I couldn't even tell. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you if I finished that. Like, it was all downhill from there. After that, I got lucky, actually. I was back here in Ybor partying. Everybody was like, hey, Pablo's in town. Let's go out and party. Got thrown out of a club, and I got into a fight with a bouncer. And I guess these two cops came to hold me down. And I went to court to defend myself and basically told my side of the story. I was like, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I got thrown out of a club. Really don't remember what happened that night. And when the cops went to go tell the story, they're like, he was crazy. He was like kicking us, punching us. Da-da-da. We had to zip tie him. And the judge was like, you mean to tell me? There's like these pretty big cops, you know? They're like, you mean to tell me you couldn't hold him down? Like, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. And she's like, I think you guys are exaggerating. And I don't know. Maybe the judge liked me or something. I told her, you know, I got a good grades. Told her my GPA at Florida State. She dropped all the charges. Nothing happened. I got real lucky. But no, I mean, I didn't learn my lesson. So when I was still 18, I got, so my parents were like, after all this happened, you're not going to have a car up in Tallahassee. That's just the way it's going down. I didn't need a car, you know, but still got a DUI somehow. I mean, like, I was 18. And was back home. And this time I was driving too slow. I was doing 10 miles per hour in a 45. And the cop was like, yeah, I've been following you the whole time. You're driving down Sheldon in a 45 zone, driving 10 miles per hour. Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, I'm really high. Like, I just refused to take a breathalyzer. Got put on 12-month probation. Couldn't drive for, 12 months, got my license suspended. It didn't really affect me too much, but yeah, I was just self-destructive. Like, when I was 19 or 20, right before I finished my probation, it's just crazy, like, right before, so I could laugh about it now, I guess, like, got into a fight with, like, you know, these three guys. Cops came to stop, they break up the fight, and I ended up punching a cop and broke his, like, glasses, and they, you know, charged me with battery on an LEO. And this time, when a judge looked at the arrest record, my juvenile record, I don't think anything's ever really sealed, and I had a lot of arrests, you know. They came down on me hard, and I got put on 4 years, 4 years probation, felony probation. And this time around, I, like, promised my brother, my dad, my lady at the time, yeah, my lady, my mom, like, I was done. I was done drinking. Drinking was, to me, drinking's the worst drug there is out there. It's baffling, you know? And I was done. I was done drinking, man. And I didn't drink for, like, four or five years. I don't know. And then I started up a business. And I started making money and started feeling real comfortable, complacent, didn't have AA in my life, you know? And I thought I could do it on my own. I thought I was like, I didn't even think like, you know, I was an alcoholic. I mean, knew, but I was like, I don't know, like, you know, so started drinking again. And for 10 years, like I said, the PG-13 version, man, I did stuff that I never want to talk about. I did stuff that, you know, I could never forgive myself for. Just stuff that will, you know, for 10 years, you know, and never got caught and, like, had a foot chase, you know, actually, like, ran from the car, made sure I wasn't gonna get in trouble, you know, and I just did some dark stuff and ended up getting a second DUI when I was, like, 34 or something, couldn't drive for 18 months. I did the same thing, refused to take a breathalyzer, and I guess in the state of Florida, it's automatic, like, rule, like, you just losing your license for 18 months, automatic rule. So, yeah, I couldn't drive for 18 months, and that's when I, like, crazy story, crazy coincidence, I ended up going to jail, and a cop that was supervising the inmates was somebody I ran track with, and he was like, dude, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, man, I got a DUI. He's like, dude, you can get out, like, just go, because he'd seen me in there a couple of days, and I was just like, no, man, could have killed somebody, could have killed myself, like, it's crazy. I just sat in jail, was so ashamed to call anybody. Finally, I mustered up the courage to call my wife, and, you know, she called my brother. My brother came pick me up, and I was done. I was done drinking, you know? And, yeah, it's just baffling, you know, after that. I finally got my license back after 18 months, and didn't drink and drive again, but, like, took Uber places and, you know, decided that I just wanted to keep drinking, you know, and I was supposed to have like two beers one day and went out to a strip club and two beers turned into like madness. I mean, just madness. Like, I was stumbling down the road, thought it like, you know, was stumbling down Alamo Drive and just, you know, it was crazy, you know, like I looked back on my phone, like charges, and I saw like five fees for missed Uber rides. I'm like, I didn't miss five Uber rides. Like, it's just crazy how I got home. Got home, my wife was like, you're obliterated. Like, what's wrong with you, you know? And like, I was like, leave me alone, baby. I'm just gonna take a shower. Leave me alone. And Yeah, I was completely obliterated, drunk, and she had had enough. She called my brother, she called my best friend, and she's like, you know, I can't deal with him. And my brother and my best friend spent the night, and my best friend took me to an AA meeting the next day. And I haven't turned back since. You know, I made one mistake in AA. Luckily, I have a sponsor who doesn't believe you're sober if you smoke weed. That's a good thing for me. So, yeah, because if he didn't, I probably had been smoking and drinking again. So, yeah, I haven't drank in like 5 months, almost 5 months. Haven't smoked weed in about close to 90 days. And this is where it's at, man. I hope I've already been fortunate enough to help people. And I find happiness in AA. I'm extremely grateful for this. And yeah, just couldn't be grateful enough to be here to share my story with you guys. And I'm grateful for this program. It seems to be working for me. And that's all I got. That's my story in a nutshell.